Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes are back. It's Thursday, March 3rd. It's actually Thursday, March 3rd. There is no Wednesday night for Thursday delivery. None of that stuff. Waited till the last possible minute to do our show. It actually takes us back to our roots of starting at 9 a.m. Weekly back in the day. And then it got moved to 10 and so on. Anyway, what we wanted to do is kind of still gather as much info as we could with everything going on in the latest news, not just UFC 272, but the unfortunate incident that took place in Northern California involving Cain Velasquez. So we'll give you the latest on that. And of course, we'll talk UFC 272 and all the other news nuggets that are out there, including, and aside from that, Adam Borks will be a guest of ours. He's headlining Bellator 276 on March 12th against Mads Burnell. Remember, Phil Davis was a guest of ours recently, and I was telling Phil, hey, man, how come it ain't you, dog? And he wasn't tripping too hard, but yeah, we'll talk to Adam about that very same topic. All right, MMA Junkie Radio, again, on a Thursday, March 3rd. Here's a case that is nowhere near being closed, and that's the one against Cain Velasquez, who is up on attempted murder. Well, actually, it was a lot of charges. You know, at first it was just he was involved in a shooting. Hey, did he get shot at or was he the shooter? We found out he was the shooter. And then we found out the reason. You know, why did he do it? Did he lose it? CTE, which I hate fucking when people just jump to that conclusion because it involves an MMA fighter. I mean, yes, we know a lot of MMA fighters will suffer from pugilistic dementia at some point, but you know, a lot of people succumb to dementia, period. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to get it. And Cain was worthy of us giving him a benefit of the doubt. Cain, what? Hold on a second. You had to say, that had to be followed goes by, let's gather some details here, right? I mean, Cain was never some sort of a knucklehead. Old Cain at it again.
Right. And I think that's why people go that route of could it be that? Because, you know, like if John Jones did something like that, you'd go, well, okay, you know, I get it.
Right.
He's had some problems before, but Cain hasn't really. I mean, when you meet him, he's almost like a sweetheart. He's just a really, really nice guy. So for him to get to that point of doing something like that, it does kind of make you wonder a little bit. But now that we have more details, boy, that is one hell of a pickle.
So we have an article that kind of summarizes everything that took place, but I'm going to take a few things here and there so I don't read the whole thing to you, and then you can all read it, because what's going to happen is this thing will get updated little by little. Our Nolan King is kind of on the our Johnny on the spot guy regarding this, so a big shout out to him. I know he's put a lot of time into this, but basically, so this took place on Monday, and we acquired a complaint from Santa Clara's court. Santa Clara is the county where, maybe not even necessarily where this took place, by the way. That's a whole other thing. But that's who's running point on this. He's been charged with attempted murder, one count. By the way, the guy he shot in the arm, non-life-threatening injuries. However, it wasn't the guy he was gunning for. All right. Shooting at a motor vehicle or aircraft, one count. Again, it was a chase between his SUV and the truck he was chasing, and so it was a motor vehicle, not an aircraft. What the fuck, man? This ain't the Jetsons. An aircraft? assault with a firearm, three counts. That would account for the three bullets missing from his, from his 40 caliber hand pistol or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I'm not a gun guy, but I think that's what I remember hearing. Assault with a deadly weapon, three counts. So I imagine, again, that's every bullet. Willfully discharging a firearm from a vehicle, one count, which... Geez, isn't that the attempted murder? I don't know. See, that's why I'm like, it sounds worse. Nah, I won't even say that. It's bad, right? And carrying a loaded firearm with intent to commit a felony, one count. What I'm getting at is I think the core of this is he attempted to shoot someone. So that's, you know, that's the legal stuff for all the smart cats out there that listen to the show. It probably made a lot of sense to you there. For layman, you know, like myself, okay, all right, yeah, we're chugging along. You just kind of fill us in, you know, on what this means. Maybe just jump the gun. All right, what does this mean? You know, all these counts, people are probably wondering. If found guilty of attempted murder, Velasquez faces a minimum of 20 years and up to life in prison, according to the California Penal Code. Faces additional time if found guilty on the other counts. And he was arraigned yesterday, because today's Thursday. No bail was set. And it says three witness protective orders were issued. His arraignment will continue on Monday. Possibly then we can find out if they will set a bail. And by the way, Cain Velasquez has, there's another piece on Junkie that shows a video of the chase. It's 3 seconds long, but in there's a video again giving more details of what's going on. And how I'm tying this into what I was saying was, there is already tremendous support for Cain. A lot of people were at the courthouse with free Cain t-shirts, and they are saying they're going to back their guy, and they will, I think, help post bail, because this is a very personal case that a lot of people can relate to. Whether they would take the steps Cain did or not, I think a lot of us have thought it or whispered it to, or said it to our buddies, or, you know, basically, again, these are allegations. There's a gentleman who may have sexually assaulted his kid. And I think what happened was there was already something going on against him about a week ago. And he was released on bail because they didn't feel like he was a flight risk or whatever. So when I imagine when Cain found that out, along with finding out that up to 100 times his kid may have been molested with this guy, I mean, he must have been in a rage, which is what this is. This is, a crime of passion, of rage, and he wanted to hurt this man. Now, we'll get to should he have acted that way and the MMA support. I want to kind of go a little bit, you know, not go off in too many tangents, but goes up to there. Do you want to fill in your thoughts? What you've seen, what you've read regarding this case with Cain Velasquez?
Man, I just think it's really sad, because everybody has an opinion on how they would have reacted, but we're all just different. And George and I were brothers. We were raised by the same mother and father, so we're probably going to have similar views to that and probably have somewhat similar temperaments. But Everybody is raised differently, and everybody thinks differently. And I mean, George and I aren't even gun owners, so like that probably wouldn't even be an option for us. But you just have to put yourself in this guy's shoes. I feel like this is a little different. Attempted murder sounds horrible any way you slice the pie. Mm-hmm. But if you break this all down, I think you look at Cain Velasquez a little different than somebody else, you know, that maybe walked into a CVS and tried to kill somebody or whatever. This is a little different. Should he have done it? No, but I think you can relate to something like this a little better than your average attempted murder.
Should he have hurt him?
Well, okay. So that's a good point. For me, and the way I think, and maybe I'm more twisted in thinking this way, but for me, I feel like shooting him is letting him off the hook. If you told me the former heavyweight champion of the world is coming after me, and they go, he could either shoot you or beat the living shit out of you, I'd probably say, you know what, man, shoot me. Like, let's get this over with. I think you would scare the shit out of that guy more and take more pleasure out of beating the crap out of him than you would. And you wouldn't go to jail for as long as you would by shooting him. But that's me. I'm not Cain Velasquez. I don't think the way he does, but I actually think he chose the route that would hurt him more and probably his family going forward more and do less of what it was he was trying to do. I mean, I don't know. If it were me, I would have beat the shit out of him, but I don't think, right, I would have shot him.
Right. And that also wouldn't have been the last beating he took.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not just outside of prison, but inside of prison. So you're right. There would have been tons more suffering. And the key part is he chose the option that may have hurt him and his family. Remember, so I've been seeing a lot of MMA people stating, that's what I would have done. I hear you, man. I really do. And much respect for the way you're wired. It takes a certain special individual to get into that cage and do what you do. But at the same time, you all get mad when we accuse you of being knuckleheads or, you know, just, I guess, caged animals. You know, so many of you are more than that. And this, unfortunately, could be a setback to Kane's family as well. So imagine what that kid is suffering through right now at this moment because of the allegations. Imagine if he doesn't have his dad for anywhere from 2 to 20 years, we'll say. I think the jury will be very sympathetic to Kane in this
case. I think so too.
Luckily, no one died and there was non-life-threatening injuries. Sorry, let me turn off my email here. And that's good. You know, because I guess his stepfather, the alleged accuser's stepfather, was shot. Now, if he's in on it, then good. You know, I'm glad he got shot. But if he's not, I'm not. You know, if I did something bad, my dad's a good guy. I'd hate for him to get shot over something I did. You know, but again, we're starting to jump around here. And I'll try and keep it compartmentalized into different topics. But, you know, I've seen the reaction and I want people to know, man, yes, I want this guy to suffer for sure. But I don't want Kane and his family to suffer. But we can't undo what's already done. I guess we're talking about it because I've already talked to a few people that say, well, what I would have done, or I've thought about what I would have done or whatever. And so it's almost like we all want to learn from this. Should this ever happen? It won't happen to me because I don't have any kids, but I care a lot about a lot of nieces and nephews and godchildren and things like that. I'm also not a gun owner, so I guess it wouldn't escalate to that. I don't believe. I mean, I can probably get my hands on one, but yeah, I think, like I say, this is just hitting home in so many different ways. You wanted to say something. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, like, in this situation, I want to be there with my son for however this healing is going to come about. But the other part is we're talking about how we want this guy to suffer. Boy, I can't think of a better way of this guy suffering than the fear that he would face every day in prison, being who he is and what he did. That might be the same fear that my child had to endure plenty of times. I want him to feel that for a very long time. And so even if you gave me the option of wipe him off the planet or put him through that, I think I'd rather put him through that. I want him to feel fear and pain.
Do you remember the last time you were enraged? And obviously not to the level of what Kane reached, but let's just say it was even at a shopping mall or at a gas station or at this or at that. And then you think back and go, yeah, I kind of went overboard. The scary thing here is this car chase lasted a while. I heard it was over 6-7 miles. And that's a long time. that's a long time to be enraged. What's scary is, would he have shot all three, or, you know, and like, I'm just wondering if Kane almost caught a break by missing this guy, not killing the other guy, and maybe something will work out. Because what I'm getting at is, have you ever been just so pissed, but then you realize, all right, you know, I'm just going to get out of here or whatever. And then because you start to reason, right? And so you go through these little cycles where obviously something can escalate depending on what someone's saying to you, or you just realize, okay, this isn't worth it. I'm out of here, blah, blah, blah. I'm glad that, I guess, this really could have been worse is what I'm trying to say, with him having this much of a premeditation rage.
No, I can't really remember getting to that point with
Well, anything. No, not that you wanted to kill someone, but
Where you regretted your actions, right?
Yeah, where you're just like, you've pushed it far enough, you know. Okay, we'll just use the example of like Karen's at a Starbucks, right? Okay, there's people that don't like the mask, and then they go in there and Starbucks insists you wear it, and so you flip out. And there's a difference between going, oh, this is bullshit, you know, I'm just gonna go to McDonald's and grab a coffee there, versus flipping shit and, you know, breaking something and maybe accosting the employee. You see what I'm saying? How,
yeah,
there's just,
I was confused because we have a cousin named Karen, so I was thinking she's at Starbucks. I thought the scenario, but you mean like,
oh, no, like the Karens that are labeled as,
because our cousin Karen is part of a lot of scenarios like that. So I was thinking, did she parachute in the Starbucks with what just happened? But
no, I'm just kind of giving examples of that, or like I say, you know, or those YouTube videos, two people at a game, and they're pushing and shoving, and you've seen some where like, oh my God, this guy went crazy. He even fought the cops and the security, and then there's others that, you know, maybe reached the point where they got face to face, a shove, and then cooler heads prevailed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I'm getting at again is I think Kane caught a break because of how long this was premeditated, that not more people got hurt, because it looked like nothing was stopping them until that guy's life was going to end. You know, it appears, I don't know, more details could come out. Maybe he shot once and then said, what am I doing? I don't know. But he shot three times. Someone did get hit, but the wrong person got hit. And I don't know if that guy's a bad guy or not. So it involves, I guess, that guy is the son of the mother who used to watch Kane's kid. So again, sketchy details, but I believe I got that right. And MMA Junkie will definitely always get it right. Give those guys and gals a break. When this thing first came out, all we were doing was giving you the info that we had that was verified. And if that's all we gave you, it's all we got. Trust me, we want to give you as much news as possible, but we want to be right and not anything else. Don't lose the word clickbait from your vocabulary. You sound so stupid in the comments on social media when you see that. Shut up with that. You know what I mean? Like, I watched our editorial team carefully, you know, talk amongst the group about a headline or about details of a story and the follow-ups or whatever. You know, like, don't think that we're not watching. We want to engage with you, the ones that are smart fans, the ones that we can have good discussions with. And I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that was a little disappointing to see that, because I know how hard the team hustles, and we're going to give it, you know, as much as we can and as accurate as we can. So the stories are an MMA Junkie summaries, and then the different things that are happening. Well, there was a reaction piece, of course, from a lot of support from the MMA community. Count me as one of those. Of course, he took the wrong actions the way he did them, but I could definitely understand Kane being so mad that he wanted to hurt that guy the way he did.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if there was other tangents that we wanted to hit. If we hit them, there's nothing wrong with coming back to them. It is a big fight week. UFC 272 is upon us. Each fighter kind of had their individual scrum with the media. Did you catch those guys?
Yeah.
Masvidal and Covington kind of didn't say anything different. It's the story's there. Now it's just a matter of getting to Saturday. You know, I think for the few things that I found out was, I didn't know Masvidal's daughter was already 13. I've seen his kids, and I remember them just being a little bit more little, but it was at the studio, it was years ago, and these kids grow so quick. 13 is definitely enough to hit the internet or get teased by your friends because Covington's saying these things about your dad. You see what I'm saying? I could see where that has really, really enraged George. And that could be that motivating factor where this guy ain't skipping wrestling and jiu-jitsu and strength and conditioning or whatever. You can tell when a fighter is motivated and gives you the best camp possible. mm-hmm. especially when they have an easy weight cut and they're ready to go. I think this is it for him. Covington, you've never, I don't think anyone's ever doubted that he always comes in as fit as possible. You know, that part I do believe in terms of his diet, his preparations, you know, this whole mamacita in the bed cardio thing or whatever. I just don't, I'm not saying he doesn't get his. What I'm saying is I don't think he's at Miami Beach, the nightclubs till 6 a.m. or any of that stuff.
Hey, let me ask you this though. Is there a percentage of you that believes that it's possible when this is all said and done, these two guys shake hands and go, man, we did what we needed to do to sell the fight. We were best friends. Is there any, even 1% of you that thinks that might happen?
No, this is orchestrated for too long.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
They're both really smart. Like behind the scenes, aside from their characters or whatever, they're very, very smart. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's just kind of gone on too long.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that would be nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I wanted to save my ass, I'll give you the whole I'm 99.99 sure, but nah, I'm 100% sure this ain't an act. They hate each other. Yeah. And, you know, they gave their explanation. A lot of this stems from the coach not getting paid. George kind of gave us a little bit more of an outline where he said he was spotting certain things along the way that he didn't like. And, you know, it's two different dudes, man. You got some guy from Oregon, way more conservative guy, and then a street guy from Miami. You can hit it off and have something in common, and that's the fight game. And the fact that, hey, my weakness is your strength. Let's help each other. And I've struggled too. So yeah, you know, sleep on my couch and you probably get a kick out of this guy. You know, if you watch when these guys hit Vegas after one of George's wins, Colby treated them to a weekend in Vegas or something like that. And, you know, they're all giggly and excited, but you could also, their approach to women was a little bit different. They were teasing each other there. And what happens is all it takes is one little fallout. And I've just seen it a lot in MMA. I've seen it a lot as an adult male. True friendships are kind of hard to really conserve for a long time. A lot of things come up. Heck, just think of this, Goes. The same way you work at MMA Junkie, think back at when you worked with Harold, for example, or at First American, or any other job that you've ever had. You probably had a couple homies where, like, dude, lunch was on. This is my click, or breaks, and you know what I mean? And if one guy had a birthday coming up, you know, you might, hey, we'll get beers on Fridays, or maybe somebody was part of your happy hour routine, and now you don't fucking speak a lick to them, you know, like you may have even lost touch or whatever. Same thing happens in MMA. They all, I don't want to say use each other. I believe in the fact that there is a brotherhood and there's a lot of respect, and that's why when a lot of athletes see each other, even if they haven't seen each other for a long time, whether they fought or didn't, they'll give themselves a big hug because there is that bond of also getting in there and spilling blood and, you know, and the business, you know, the business that is MMA, that the violent business that is MMA. But if you'll also notice, if it wasn't for those chance meetings, they don't really keep in touch. You know what I mean? It's their coworkers. So that's why I believe this could have just unraveled too.
So this is probably was going to be a question on our Triple G show for a pole position, but I'll just ask you now, where does this rank amongst rivalries of fighters that used to maybe get along, training partners, friends? The one that jumps out for me is Chuck and Tito, right? It's very similar, right? He used to sleep on my couch, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Obviously, Woodley and Covington is another one, right? Who are...
Yeah, it is another one, but I don't think it's the same as Tito and Chuck and Jorge and... Colby.
Well, because Tito and Chuck were just training part. Like, I don't know that they were that good of friends. Like, I don't know that we're going to find an exact one. I just mean rivalries where it got heated.
Well, no, I like the whole he used to sleep at my house type thing. I don't think Colby and Woodley did that. Well, actually, there is a story that George says that Woodley did hire Covington to, I guess, help him mimic somebody. It was one of his title defenses or something. So I stand corrected. Maybe for a while, but... It seemed like Chuck and Tito were friends, And then when they slowly realize we're going to have to fight each other, then they drifted. Same with Jorge and Colby. Although I don't think that they really thought they would have to fight each other necessarily early on when they were roommates like that. Whereas Woodley hired the other guy. Woodley was the champ, and he hired Covington. So Covington was just starting out in the game. But let's continue here with the examples. I guess other examples would be Dillashaw and
Garbrandt.
Faber, maybe. I don't know.
You
know,
never fought.
It has nothing to do with the couch. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just thinking of rivalries. Rampage and Rashad had a heated rivalry, but they fought, but they weren't teammates. This seems to be the most personal one because of what Colby has involved the family. And yeah, so I think this one's the most personal one out of all of them. Chael, you know, when he said, I'm going to go to Brazil and you're going to make, your wife's going to make me a steak and I'm going to thank her by slapping her on the butt. Chael's smack talk is very fluid. It's very funny, super entertaining. But you can also tell when it's pro wrestling esque and he doesn't mean the harm. Not to say Colby's isn't similar to that at times, but you know, like, come on, man. Like, he's said it over and over, and I don't want to really repeat it, but George is a husband, and you know, he's this, and these are his vices and kids and child. I mean, come on, like, that's really, really personal that. The way he took it,
yeah,
the direction he took it in.
I think those are one and two, Chael and Anderson, and then and Colby and Masvidal. But boy, has it gotten me fired up for the fight. Like, I'm super excited for this fight.
Yeah, you know, whoever loses, it's gonna be rough for him because the other guy's gonna be talking a lot of smack, especially if it's Colby. They're both in that South Florida region. They're both in the same division. They're both have years ahead of them. They're both highly ranked guys, but they make a lot of money. So, like, Jorge's road to the title will be almost non-existent if he were to lose to Colby Covington because there's so many other guys. You got Edwards, for one. Covington will have raised the stock. I'm not saying he's automatically next, but the guys like Bilal Muhammad, who are on a run, Hamzat Shemaev, who's very promising, other veterans like, you know, your Stephen Thompsons of the world, Gilbert Burns. There's just so many of them that it's like, holy cow. And George is 37. I think Colby's 35. And let's say Colby were to lose because he won some rounds from the champion. I think that's why the champion hasn't completely said, bitch, I beat you 2-0. Get out of my face. He's just going, respect. I got you 2-0, but respect. Like, you brought something out of me competitively. I'm keeping an eye on you. And that's why he's never closed the door on three there. So if Colby were to lose, he wouldn't drop. He'd drop. He just wouldn't drop as far as Masvidal, I don't believe. However, Masvidal's a superstar. And Masvidal's got BMF, and he's got these other fights. The only reason the UFC's promoting a non-title fight is really because of Masvidal. You know, and the heated rivalry. They don't do that too often where they have a main event that's not for a title. Only a few superstars can pull that off. Masvidal is one of them.
Leon Edwards, right, is a fight that has a little bit of unfinished business, but it's kind of lost its luster a little bit. I think we've had to wait too long, and then you always got to
throw it. They can bring it back.
Huh?
They can bring it back.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is an important fight for Jorge Masvidal. He needs this for his credibility, his street credibility.
Right.
Colby needs this to prove ATT wrong, to prove Masvidal wrong, but we all know he's a top welterweight.
And that's why I was saying I think you're going to get the best of both guys because, again, I just think Colby usually works hard. And I'm not saying Masvidal dogs it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm sure he probably works hard. But remember, let's look at his last couple fights. Excuse me. The two Usman fights, one was on 6 weeks. One was on 6 days, and Usman's fucking outstanding too. He pretty much makes everyone look bad at some point. But this one, I think he had more of the proper camp, and I can also tell because Jorge answers every single one of my DMs. We don't talk often, but when we do, he'll reply, even if it's quick. It's usually an audio message. But I could tell starting in late December, he shut it down. I don't think it was because of anything I said or did. It was he just shut it down. So I could tell he's shut down social media, and he's only limiting his contact, and he's going in that mode of, I'm taking this fight serious, and I'm leaving no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for it. Look, we'll continue talking about it, but right now we got to get to our guest. Adam Borix is going to be headlining against Mads Burnell at Bellator 276 on March 12th. Showtime's got you covered. I'll say all this in the interview, but anyway, let's get to this rising featherweight, Adam Borix. What's going on, Junkie Nation? We got another MMA superstar here. Gorgeous Georgian goes, always delivering. We're talking to Adam Borix, the kid, who's going to be facing Mads Burnell on March 12th, Bellator 276. Always on Showtime, 9 p.m. Eastern start time for that main card. My man here is in the main event. How you doing, Adam?
Thank you, man. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. But I got to be a man, and I got to confess to you, okay?
Okay.
I thought Phil Davis should have been the main event. We just interviewed him a few days ago. I told him that. I don't want you to find out and then go, wait a minute, why didn't that guy bring it up to me? I just felt like he is star power because him being a former champion, Bellator and UFC veteran, NC2A wrestling champion. But you tell me why you think I'm probably wrong. I congratulate you, by the way, on getting the main event. I think you and Mads are studs. But you tell me what you think about that.
It's a simple answer, man. I am the future. That's it.
That's good enough. I like it. I like it. Well, like I said, you guys, I'm sure after this fight, either you or Mads definitely will be more well-known, and that's sometimes why Bellator provides that stage. So I like it. The future. All right. Yeah. So now that we got that out of the way, I know Goz is going to ask you about the rodeo, so I'm going to ask you a different question, all right? More serious question. The conflict that's happening overseas, is it affecting you in any way as a neighboring country?
I mean, yeah, it's very frustration, you know, for me. Every morning when I wake up, I just like, I hope it's nothing going on in Hungary, you know. So, I mean, it's scary, you know. It's very, very close to us. And I really care about my family, you know.
Definitely. Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you, your family, and your country, and hopefully this conflict gets resolved. Yep. But I've been watching like you, and I see the map, and I see that Hungary definitely is a neighboring country, and they've been in the news as of late. All right. Now, tell me something. How did a Hungarian kid like you find his way to Sanford MMA in South Florida? Tell me about that journey and working with that team.
I think it's everything about the hard work, but I've been training in Hungary a lot, like most of the time alone. And 2017, one day my friend called me. He's going to the US and he was asking me join to the trip. And I was saying yes. And I just visit Harry Hooft and he told me, you have to stay here. You're going to be a world champion. And we are here, you know, close to the world title.
Wow. So this is all because of a suggestion from your friend. If he didn't suggest it, you would still be training in Hungary, you think?
No, pretty sure not, because I didn't have training partner, you know. Like, I mean, I could train with amateurs, but, you know, it's not the same. So I was looking for a camp in Germany. I went to Slovakia. I went everywhere. I tried to find my camp, but my goal was always to come to the States. But that time I didn't have money to move here, you know, and I'm really, really lucky. Two managers, they just changed my life. They are my best friends now. So they really changed my life, you know. So they helped me to move here and organize everything. So it was like a typical American dream, man.
Mm-hmm.
What other sports did you play in Hungary? Because I've watched a lot of your videos, and you look like a pretty athletic guy. It seems to me like if we roll you a ball or throw you something, you can catch it or kick it or whatever. But did you play other sports?
Yeah, I played everything, you know, soccer, running, and handball. I did a little bit karate. So I was just very active kid, you know. Every afternoon I went to bicycle or whatever, you know. Just I was really, really active kid.
You know, I've never heard, I know what handball is, but I've never heard anyone say that. Did you play it competitively or just with friends?
Just with friends. I have one competition, but my whole family was really good in handball, but I was horrible. I just threw the ball like really, really hard, and that's it. I wasn't really good, but I was good in soccer.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What position did you play?
Everything.
Do you have a favorite soccer team?
Oh, sorry. Not really. I really don't like to watch on TV, but if I go to a live show, live game, for example, in Hungary, that's great, you know. Really good atmosphere.
I can imagine. I mean, I watch a lot of football in Europe, and those crowds are passionate.
Yes. And wow. we have one team in Hungary. So I mean, two teams. Then they fight against each other. That's the biggest game in Hungary. And like 2 years ago, I went to the game, and the atmosphere was like huge. You know, the fans are crazy.
Yeah. Did you get in any fights? Did you get in any fights at the stadium?
No. But I was like, I hope one day I can fight like in this arena, like that much people, you know.
All right. Well, I don't want to push it or anything, but like I say, part of that culture of the fanatics that are in European football is hooliganism. And of course you got the skills. So I can imagine if somebody said, what are you looking at? You know, like you might be ready to throw down. That's why I had to ask that question.
So the fans, you know, sometimes they fight each other, and they invited me a lot of times and like, guys, I'm not fighting for free.
Yeah, I guess so. But when you were a kid, never mind. I don't want you to do that anyway. They bring box cutters and bats. It's not really a fight. It's more of like, you know,
it's a rumble.
Yeah, it's a rumble. It's not a fight. A fight is, you know,
man,
some gloves, a little bit of Vaseline, and let's go.
Yeah, you know yes, I mean? Yes. And when you fight against somebody who really don't know fight, it's not really, you know.
And then let's say you win, all of a sudden 100 more come, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not fair, it's the streets.
Fighting is a sports for me, you know.
Yeah. So Adam Borix is going to headline Bellator 276 on March 12th against Mads Burnell. In the co-main event, you got Julius Anglicus and Mr. Wonderful, Phil Davis. Showtime has you covered, 9 p.m. Eastern start time on Bellator. All right, Goes, what do you have for Adam Borix?
Adam, so you're right there. You said it yourself. A possible title shot coming out of this fight. Do you have a preference who the title shot would be against, AJ McKee or Pitbull, either guy?
I really don't care. I hope AJ going to beat him again because, I mean, I really respect Pitbull, but I think his prime is already done. So I think I'm going to fight with AJ, but I really don't care now. My world title fight now is Mads Burnell, March 12th. I prepared like that.
When you look at videotape of your opponent, what is one thing that sticks out? One thing that you can give him respect that impresses you?
He makes it up good, you know, and he's coming forward, and he's a fighter. I can say he's a real fighter. You know, he has a big heart, and yeah, I like that. I think he's really, really underestimated. I think he's one of the best fighters in the world.
Do you prefer now, I mean, you've been in the United States for some time, do you prefer fighting here in the United States, or do you kind of like to go back home and fight, you know, over there?
I would like to fight back home because I haven't fought in Europe like since 2018, maybe. Yeah, so I just fought here in the US. But I mean, I used to it. So most of the time I'm here in the US. I'm living here in Florida. So I really used to it. But for me, nothing is better than fighting in Hungary. You know, Bellator being there 2 times, and some fighters, they feel extra pressure on that. But fighting at home, it just gives me more energy, you know.
Adam, living in the United States, there are a few things that people point to that you have to do, right? You have to go to some kind of baseball game, basketball, football, or Disneyland, things like that. You went to your first rodeo.
Yeah.
What was that experience like, and how much money would it take for you to get on one of them bulls and give it a try?
I mean, it was really, really good. You know, I'm living with my wife here, and she really wanted to go there. And I was really enjoying that, you know. In the live show, it's much different than in the TV. So it was great, man. Those people, they can make a show, you know. They know how to make it. It was like, you know, very cheap, like $25 a ticket. So it was like, you know, like nothing. It's, I think it's, if they have a rodeo show, and for example, in Hungary, it's more expensive. So it was good.
But you didn't answer the question. Would you hop on a bull for $10,000, maybe $10,000?
Say again. Sorry.
If you were at the rodeo and they said, we have disqualified one of the riders, he can't go. We need somebody in the audience. Hey, how about you? We'll give you $10,000.
Easy. I would take it. Yeah, easy. And then, you know, I would do that. But one time Luke Rocco did with the bull. So he just grabbed the bull and try to take him down.
What?
I will try it. Yeah, if you look around on YouTube, maybe look.
A big bull or just a little calf?
Just a little. No, just you would do that with the little.
Yeah. I would arm bar him. I think the joke is too easy. He's got a big neck, so I would set up an arm bar.
Okay. I'm gonna set up that for you.
Never mind. No, that's crazy. The rodeo. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you're soaking up American culture. How about, have you been on a gator ride, an airboat ride to look at the gators in Florida?
Yes, of course. In Everglades, I've been there. I know, I try to know the culture a little bit more. And for example, if I fight, I mean, before COVID, it was like, if I fought in San Jose, I was staying there like 2-3 more days, you know, just see how is it goes that state, how is it looks like. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I like Florida with the exception of the humidity.
Oh.
But other than that, I had a good time in Florida.
No. Summertime is horrible. I really don't want to stay here at summer.
Yeah. What's the weather like in Hungary most of the time?
We have 4 seasons, so, you know, but I would stay here at the winter time. I like that. But my future goal is like staying in Florida 6 months and staying in Hungary like 6 months.
And the winter would be in Florida because it's warm, and then yes, the summer.
And you know, if I have a camp like two, I want to stay here 2-3 months. And when I go back to Hungary, I just want to focus on a little details, just technique, you know, just technique. Because when I am here, I always goes hard, man. I cannot just, you know, I cannot miss sparring or something. I like to go hard, and I think I'm good because I'm 28 now, but sooner or later I have to slow down a little bit.
Who are some of your favorite training partners?
Shane Soriano, because when we train, it's like a pay-per-view. You know. Yeah. I really spar hard, but I really like to train with Jared Gordon, Christos Giagos, and I mean, Logan Storley. He's one of the best wrestlers, you know.
Yeah, he just won last week. Yeah.
Yes.
One guy that we know here from Las Vegas is Kevin Lee. I think he's new in your gym, right?
Yeah, he's in the gym now.
Have you trained with him yet?
Yeah, last week I rode with him, just like one round. Yeah.
And Michael Chandler, do you roll with Michael Chandler?
Yeah, of course. Michael Chandler. Yeah, we train a lot and we did a lot of camp together.
Is Michael Johnson still there? The Menace?
Yes. My man, you know, he's one of my favorite guys. You know, he always talks shit, but we like each other, you know, but yeah, we like to go hard, you know, but yeah, just joke around before the sparring.
Yeah, those are great guys, man.
Beat each other. Yeah, he's one of the nicest guys ever, you know.
I'm glad I gave him a shout out because you forgot, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't want you to think we're a jerks or anything. It's our first time. We're just having fun with you. Hey, tell me, Hungary, how popular are you over there? Are you well known in the country?
Oh, yeah. It's really crazy because, you know, the most of the time I'm here, but when I go back, every city where I walk, I have to stop and take a picture with somebody.
Really?
No, it's crazy. I don't understand because I have like, 50,000 followers on Instagram or something. But when I am at home, every day, at least I took three pictures, you know. So when you fight,
like, is it televised? Is it a big event?
Yes.
Nice. That's awesome.
If you see social media, every time when they Bellator post about me something, a lot of Hungarian, boom, 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 and nobody's like me, you know. So I mean, Hungary is it's not a big country, you know. It's a small country, but that's why I am lucky a little bit because I'm the number one and maybe the only one, you know, who fights in a big organization. Yeah. So that's why I'm very, very popular.
Your family and your friends must be proud of
your career. They are.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I know it's probably tough living in another country, making that sacrifice, but at least you're bringing a lot of pride and joy to your country. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It was really nice to meet you today. Thank you for the time here on MMA Junkie Radio. Good luck with the rest of your camp.
Thank you.
And safe weight cuts. And we'll be watching on March 12th against Mads Burnell. The winner could be facing Pitbull Frady or AJ McKee. Tune in, folks. Thank you. See you later,
Adam. Thank you so much. See you later, guys.
All right. Well, I am a fan of this guy. And Hungary, you got yourselves a sports hero, man. I think this guy will represent you guys very proudly. I was just really, really impressed by him. He's a very, very charming fellow. Like, you know, he was laughing along and we busted his chops a little bit there. But really, really a cool guy.
I want to see him on the bowl. See what it
$10,000.
Oliveira does that, right?
Cowboy Oliveira rides bull. Well, yeah, we'll call him rodeo guys. I don't know if there's a difference between riding a bronco or a bull. I imagine they're both dangerous, but the bull does have those horns.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Goes, if you ride a rodeo, what would be scarier if I told you, and you have to do these, one or the other, you got to ride the bull, or you got to be a rodeo clown, except you got to be a rodeo clown for, we'll say, five rides, not just one ride?
I would be the rodeo clown, I think.
And just hope that the rides were pleasant and the bull kind of goes off in his own way. And there's other rodeo clowns as well.
Yeah, because if I'm on the bull, for sure I'm getting fucked up. I mean, even the best guys, nobody's flying off like an acrobat, right? Like everybody lands on their ass or their head or something.
Well, some don't fall off too.
No, that eventually they do, right? You can't ride the bull forever.
Yeah, but you leave kind of on your own. Once you've gotten to the 8 seconds, you know,
but I don't have the skills to do like my dismount obviously will not be graceful. That's for sure.
But you could also be a rodeo clown that five bulls went after.
Right. But there are other clowns. So I'm hoping, you know, like they help me out too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck. That'd be torture. Just think about it. If you do one, right. Woo. I made it. Now you got to sweat like 5-10 minutes before the next guy's getting loaded in. You're just thinking, God, is this the one where he's gonna fucking destroy me? Maybe I do get on the bull. Maybe I do get, you know what? Maybe, No, I'll be the clown. I'll be the clown.
Yeah. I think so too, man. The clowns crack me up. Clowns just crack me up, period. I love them at parades. I love them at the circus. I love them at the rodeo. When I started finding out that some people had nightmares of clowns and hated clowns, I was like, what? But then
Jeremy
I heard
Potter can't stand clowns.
Yeah.
He's terrified of them.
Yeah. No, I like them. Hopefully we get to see Adam Borix ride a bull one day. I think he would do it.
Yeah.
You could tell he's nutty a little bit. He's a nice guy, but you could tell he's nutty too. But maybe after his fighting career is over, who knows? But the older you get, the more that testosterone goes and the more you realize, okay, I shouldn't be doing nutty stuff. So I don't know. Hey, here's a quick update, guys. I talk to Chris Lieben often, and he's close to leaving the hospital. I thought that was good news.
Oh, awesome. Okay, yeah.
But he hasn't left the hospital yet.
Watching him walk so slowly like that, you know, a guy that's, even when he thinks he's out of shape, he's still in way better shape than most people on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that take so much out of his body and him just barely walking, it's like so hard to see, man. I really hope his recovery goes smooth once he gets out of there.
This is your last chance to really say anything about Masvidal and Covington that hasn't been said. What are your final thoughts as we head into Saturday's main event?
My mind is all over the place because my brain tells me Colby Covington should be just fine. He should be able to out-wrestle Jorge. The only thing that I see as a problem is he's got to do it 5 times because I don't see him finishing Jorge once he gets him down. I don't know that he's that fighter. But honestly, like, he might have done himself an injustice in motivating Jorge Masvidal. You know, motivated Jorge Masvidal, and we've said this before, there's fights where you look at him and you go, oh man, he's been training. Like, he's in shape. Mentally, he's good. He took a lot of fights in his career on short notice. He's there to fight, you know, make money. But when he has a full camp and puts his mind to things, he's a dangerous fella. And I don't know why, man. I just feel like this might be the fight where something nasty comes out of Jorge. And I think Colby Covington sees it in his eyes. This might be a fight where it gets inside Colby's head too. So we'll see. But I think my lean is Jorge Masvidal.
You know, Masvidal hasn't fought in almost a year.
No.
I didn't realize that. That was the KO to Kamaru Usman. So he did what a lot of us would say, and that's, hey, take some time off. Because, you know, he was removed from consciousness. First time ever for him. It was April 24th of last year in Jacksonville, Florida. But he didn't fight since then, which, again, I'm just thinking back. Sometimes I can't rewind and go, why not? What the fuck? You know, what happened? I think there was some stuff with, you know, other fights that fell through or that were being entertained. And then as far as Covington, we were at the military base in November when he fought, you know, so that was what, 4 months ago. That fight took a lot out of both him and Usman. You know, they went at it, but he's back. So did he come back too soon? You know, I don't know. These are all things that we should all wonder. Is one guy going to have a little bit of rust? I doubt it. I think they are experienced enough prize fighters that we're going to see the best of them. I think it's fair to ask, though, will it take George, you know, 2 minutes into round one to just get a little bit of that fluidity back or whatever? Because there really is something to be said about just having your legs under you and, you know, he is the older of the two. I checked their ages one more time. He's 37. He'll be 38 later on this year in November or something like that. And Covington just turned 34. So if we did the show a few weeks ago, we'd be going 37 and 33. But no, he's 34 now. He just turned 34. So those are three key years. And the guy that's known to be usually in a better cardio shape, it even Masvidal has admitted this, is, again, the younger guy. So we'll see, man. A lot of pressure on Masvidal. I'm sure he wants to posterize him like he did Ben Askren. And at the same time, he's probably realizing I also have to remain calm because this guy has a wrestling attack, you know, that could give me some problems. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to have to find the balance of when to take those risks and when not to. And while all this is happening, both fighters need to also, they also need to be present, goes, and know how to win rounds, because the key is to win the fight. And as much as both guys want to finish each other, if they don't, that nice silver medal is at least beating the other guy, even if you didn't finish him. Because, again, it gets you closer to that eventual goal of maybe a third shot at Usman. Remember, somebody could beat Usman, and now all of a sudden, you're it. Yeah. Like you said, if Edwards beats Usman, Usman has very, very worthy of saying, oh, no, I'm a champ here who's defended five times. I get to run it back. Sorry, Masvidal, Covington winner. Me and Edwards are going to run it back. But if Edwards beats Usman and hurts him so bad that Usman can't come back when the UFC wants to feature Edwards' first title defense, guess who's got a big target on him if they come out of this fight with a big win? Three-piece Minnesota, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some avenues there for each guy, and I hope to think about it because this could be really, really big, but the setback could be even bigger.
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because if the champion wants it, I mean, how do you tell the champion no, right? I mean, when champions want to fight, you got to give it to them.
Yeah, goes as quoting Dana White when asked, could Conor McGregor come back straight to a title shot? And even though he was probably a little bit more dismissive than that sounded, he left that opening, and that's the scary thing for all lightweights, because they know the Conor McGregor effect is out there. For one, the guy that would have the biggest argument for why it shouldn't be him, Dustin Poirier, just lost to Oliveira. So we can't put Dustin Poirier back in there, especially if Oliveira wins, because Oliveira would go, do you not remember me beating this guy in December? And now I just beat, I guess we'll say it's Gaethje. So why would I go back to that? He's probably, that's where Oliveira would go, cha-ching, do I want to deal with this beast Makhachev, who we'll get to in a second? Or take Conor McGregor, who has these long spells of not fighting, does, you know, sleeps on the silk sheets, and is coming off a horrendous leg injury. You know, that's where I think he'd go, hey, Dana, you were saying my input means something here. Yeah. What the hell? Let me defend against old Connie Mack. He said something about my wife one day when I was in the back. Nobody heard it, but, you know, I want to get my revenge. That's that opening that's left out there. But look, a few things. For one, all respect to Gaethje. He may beat Oliveira. And of course, that opens the door a little bit for Poirier if Gaethje wants to go on a avenge loss tour, right? Also, they could have such an epic fight that they got to run a rematch. Oh, George, that's ridiculous. When does that happen? Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo. Need I say more? By the way, I think they're going to fight a fourth time. But we did find out that Islam Makhachev now has to fight Beneil Dariush, goes. And Beneil Dariush has said, nope, no surgery. I'm just going to get healthy, and we're going to fight sometime, I guess, in the summer against Islam Makhachev. Mm-hmm. So why did that happen? Because RDA lost his opponent, Rafael Fiziev, early this week. They were scrambling around looking for opponents. Tony Ferguson said they came to him. He never gave the reason why it ain't him, but they said they came to him. Maybe his price is too high. I don't know. Renato Moicano, who eventually got it, obviously, I'm sure he was being felt out. But the big one was Makhachev, because Makhachev, I guess, raised his hand and said, I'm in, but let's do it at 170. RDA said, nah, let's do 165. Y'all created that division. He meant him and the Russians that created 165 over at Eagle FC. Makhachev says, I guess, no. RDA goes, okay, let's do it at 170. And Dana White says they reached that point where I guess they probably met both sides, money, weight, all that stuff, and that he found out Makhachev declined the fight. That pissed off Dana White enough that now he said, Makhachev, you don't just get to chill on the sidelines and get next. Take your quarter off that arcade game. You have to fight Beneil Dariush. The winner will probably fight the winner of this guy. Unless, again, remember, Makhachev is on the calendar where if he observes Ramadan and now we have a fighter that doesn't want to fight till the fall and these guys are fighting in May and there can be some sort of a quick turnaround. Guess who comes back in the summer? Because they said it would be about 1 year before he comes back. Connor McGregor. You know, and I how do you tell Justin Gaethje or Charles Oliveira, what are you doing? Because this could be where they make so much money off pay-per-view buys as champion, you know, again, against the guy that's hasn't been healthy for a year, coming off a severe injury that'll affect them mentally and physically, and he's also lost three of his last four. I could see you can't fault them for at least thinking that. And then once that's been righted, you go, okay, now give me the worthy contenders, but now I got my life-changing money.
You know that room that Dana does interviews from where he's got that map in the background? And
what's he call it, the war room or something?
Yeah. I swear that if you just move the camera to the left, there's a wall. There's a chalkboard, an easel board, and there's just a guy with two money bags like this and a twirly mustache. Mm-hmm. And that's just their plan for how they can make that Connor fight happen. I mean, fuck. That would be pretty stupid looking. I don't put it past them, though.
But here's the thing. Here's the secret. We'll end with this. The secret is they know it, but they don't care because they can get by it. Why? Because there'll be an uproar on sites like MMA Junkie and all the other ones that cover, and all the fans and all the comments and all the interviews, and everyone's going to talk about it. But while everyone's talking about it, negative press also helps sell the fight. But Dana White only has to go up there, and where it hurts is, I think where it hurts him is when Colin Cowherd or, you know, some of the ESPN shows go, what the fuck are you guys? Are you guys clowns over there or what? Do you not see how March Madness works? Two teams win, they advance. Do you not see how the Super Bowl works? You know, we have these wild cards and home field and blah, blah, blah. But we don't just go, let's have the Packers play the Cowboys or the Patriots play the Niners. We don't just pick the most popular fan. We, the ones that win, meet up in the finals, and that's that. It worked, you know. Why is it that you guys, and then he'll kind of go, you know how many times I get pulled over on the streets and they say, I want to see Oliveira versus McGregor. We do the fights the fans want to see. You know, he says that, and then maybe the ESPN guy and the Fox guy or whatever, they go, well, we still think it's foolish, but let's get to the rest of it. And all he has to do is suffer for that, and then they get to fight night goes, and more than likely, it'll always be a great fight because Connor does deliver great fights, and then he gets to stand on the podium and see, you see, all you nerds that said we shouldn't do this, was it not a great fight? And we're all forced to go, yeah, it was a great fight. You know, but so that's why they don't have shame, and they don't really have to deal with it other for just a couple weeks here and there. You know, the websites are a little intimidated sometimes. They have so many questions for them. They can't just harp on the one question over and over. So they got it down to a science, dude. They can give us whatever they want, honestly. And then we turn the page. And then once the week's over, we turn the page. Like, did you see who's on next week?
What do you mean?
Next week's main event is Thiago Santos against Ankalaev. Tell me that's not a violent fight in the works.
Yeah.
So we already start fiending for that one, and we get over it. Anyways, all right, folks, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you, as always, for your support. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie for Cain Velasquez. Of course, UFC 272, we got you covered there. A lot of the media scrums have been uploaded to our YouTube page, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video, and the social medias, you know, however you want to consume your news. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, some of you are on one, but maybe not the others. You can go there and get links to a lot of these news stories, so check them out. And I think everyone does an adequate job of giving you the best and latest info there. But the YouTube channel is close to Goz and I, because a lot of our interviews, if you missed part of it or you only see portion of it on the recaps, you can go to youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video, and you can also catch us there on Spinning Backlick and a lot of the other video franchises that we work behind the scenes with. Rankings Report when it comes out, Legend to Legend, some other stuff. All right, folks, we're out of here. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday. Until then, go out there and be a champion.